Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. This is Dr. Gary Penn. I am all happy to have you listening to my podcast. And today I thought I'd just get to a very, very small and silly subject, the existential issues that we have all the time. The meaning of life. Why are we on the planet? Why are we here? What's the point? What's the point of our existence? Certainly as a psychologist, I see this all the time. It's one of the things that is really important in when we go and we spend an hour or 2 hours a week unpacking who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. A lot of times people come to me and they say, I just don't know. A man came to me the other day and, you know, late 30s, and he goes, I just don't know. What am I doing? What is this about? And very frustrated. He was very, very frustrated thinking about it. We're just busting out the bills every month trying to figure it out. And I said to him, you know, this is an amazing problem. And it's a great problem to have. And it's a great problem to be cogitating, contemplating, thinking about. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to think about this problem. What are we here for? Why are we here? What's our purpose? It is important that we examine this. It's important that we try to figure out this issue. And I coach people not to run through this, or not just to, you know, brush it to the side, say, what does it matter? I've got so many obligations. What does it matter? I've just got bills to pay, and I've got kids to raise, and I've got, you know, a business to run, or trying to get my bonus, or whatever it is. It's kind of a big deal trying to figure out what to do and who we are and what our purpose is. When I was studying in graduate school, we go over all the theorists, you know, all the big ones, Freud and Jung and Beck and, you know, from cognitive behavioral to psychoanalysis and Melanie Klein and all that really wonderful stuff. One of the theorists that we study is Erik Erikson, and he would go through the stages of life that we go through from birth to death. And he was trained analytically, but he was thinking more in kind of a personal expression, a personal growth way. And he would take each stage of life and he would put it either, it's either or. Obviously, it doesn't have to be either or, but the way he did it, it was either or. So when you're first born, it's either trust versus mistrust. So you either have a life that you feel safe and you feel things, you have trust, or it feels dangerous and you have a sense of distrust, and you go through your life and you have all these different choices of where am I going to end up at this stage when I'm 3 years old, or I'm 7 years old, or 15, or 20, or 30, or 40. All very interesting, but for the purposes of this podcast today, I want to talk about the last stage of life that he talked about. And this is when we're about, I guess in this day and age, it would be about 70, somewhere around there, where we could actually see the finish line. Like we know, you know, we know there's only so much sand in the hourglass left for us. And we can see the finish line. We know that there are a lot more years behind us than there are ahead of us. See what's in front of us. And at that stage of life, according to Erikson, I think I agree with him, that we look back over our life, of all the years that we've lived, all the things that we've done, And we have a sense either the choices that he puts out for us is a sense of integrity or a sense of despair. Look back over our lives and we say, you know, I lived a good life. I accomplished a lot. I followed our dreams. My dreams. I really accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. I lived my highest purpose. I loved well. I parented well. I was a good citizen of the planet. I advanced whatever needed to be advanced in this world, personally and from a micro to a macro level, and you feel a sense of real integrity. The other choice is we look back over our lives and we say, you know what, I never followed my dreams. I lived in fear and anxiety. I did what my parents told me to do or what I was supposed to do, or I got a job when I was 20. I just kind of stayed in that job and I just really, you know, lived, worked my 50, 60 hours a week and paid my bills and did my thing. And then, you know, that's it. Wasn't really a great father or mother, or I didn't even have kids. I was too busy doing this or that or whatever, wherever it is. I did some bad things, cheated, stole, whatever it is. But when we're 70 years old and that's our resume, that's the story of who we are. According to Erickson, we have a sense of despair because we know that it's really hard to do a do-over at 70. That you can't, not that you can't become someone like Scrooge who lived a dark life and figured out, you know, you have that Scrooge moment where you see your legacy and you decide that the last years of your life are going to be amazing and evolved. And of course that's possible. Having an existential crisis is certainly a Western problem. I mean, if I'm living in a very different world, a different place, if I'm living in Damascus, if I'm living in the Congo or Darfur or someplace like that, well, okay, it's a little different, right? We're just trying to survive. We're trying to live day to day. My existential crisis is right in my face of a gun to my head or starvation. And so when you have the idea to think of what do I want to do, as opposed to I just need to get through today, need to get water, I need to get food, I need to live, it's much different. So I'm aware that this is a different issue for different cultures and different people. But I would imagine that even in those worlds of those existences in that area, whether I'm living in the Congo or wherever I'm living, there are existential things and dreams that people have and want of love and creation, and creativity, music, expression. I'm very sure that it's there and it's out there. Very, very sure. Very sure it's kind of a big deal. So we need to look at this. So important for you not to say, oh, I can't spend the time, because you don't want to keep on just pushing this to the side as life comes forward. It's such a big deal. We live in an interesting time. I mean, certainly we know that the earth is heating up. We know that the danger is, you know, it's no longer nation states. It's now individual actors that can do a lot of damage to us if they get the right weapons. And then we have politicians. We have people that we look at and we go, oh, my God, who have we become? What's the existential idea of America, of our country? What's happened to us? That we've lost our way, that we feel like we're just wandering in the wilderness and we're just living in the id, right? The political id. A big portion of our country is living in that id of anger and fear, hatred, hubris, that we deserve, us and them, that we know best. Irrespective of how many mistakes we've made, how many errors we've made, we see others as barbarians. We see others as inhuman. Right? We can go and bomb a country. Right? And just send, you know, bombs, kill tens of thousands of people. And then we feel incredibly superior that we don't behead people one by one. Now, certainly I'm not condoning that kind of barbaric behavior. I'm just saying it's so interesting the way we kind of understand things and what speaks to us and what when we want to think about who we are and, you know, the existential idea, the existential thought of all of this, of all of your life, my life, is it's just not simple. Why, you know, why are you the person you are? And why do you believe in the things that you believe? Right? Because this speaks to your purpose, who you are as a man, as a woman, as you go through your life. Are you a Christian? Are you a Jew? Are you a Muslim? Are you a Hindu? Are you Buddhist? Why? Did you ever make a choice to become an accountant? Did you ever make a choice to become a salesperson? Did you ever make a choice to become a writer or to drive your truck across the country or to become a chef? I mean, were these things that were given to you that you that you're a doctor or you're a lawyer? Are these things that you're supposed to be doing? Have you ever really embraced the idea of you having free will? Of you having the choice to make a decision? Is America better than every other country on the planet? Have we ever really critically thought about that? Is it possible to be critical of ourselves and our country and what we do and what we've done? Is it okay to criticize or to be thoughtful about the religion that was given to you or told to you that was right? Or do we just believe, or do we just accept this is who we are and this is what we're supposed to do? And we're supposed to marry this type of person. And we're not supposed to marry a non-Jew or a non-Christian or a non-white because these are the things that were told to us. So we constantly don't even know. Like, we just don't even know what our purpose is, what we're supposed to be doing individually, not as a group. What are you supposed to be doing? I know that I, for a large part of my life, was really unconscious. Just didn't have a sense of self-awareness. I was not self-aware. Now, I did have some sense of whatever was told to me. Whatever was given to me, the world that I was born into, that I didn't want to accept it. That I just didn't want to accept it. And I'm not saying that like, oh, look at that, how proud I am. I mean, I wish I did want to accept it. I wish I did have a home that I grew up in that was amazing and thoughtful and insightful and loving and supportive and caring, that fostered free thinking and support and gave me guidance and insight, but also was centered on respecting who I was as a boy and you know, as an adolescent and as a young man. I wish that was something that I wanted to accept. But I knew since I didn't have any of that, I knew on some level that something wasn't right. And so I didn't know a lot of things, but I just knew that what was told to me, that was thrown my way wasn't true. It was just a story. So when someone, tells you about the idea of religion, the idea of God, and the idea of, this idea of spirituality. Well, if you're a Jew, then you just believe that, there's a Messiah. You certainly, for some reason, you'll accept the idea there's a Messiah, but you just don't believe it's Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you're just like a Jew, and you believe that there is a Messiah, but you believe that the Messiah came to earth already. So, did you ever have a choice in that? Do you ever have a choice? We're told, very young, America, Pledge of Allegiance, the most amazing country in the world. Now, America is pretty amazing, right? There's a lot of amazing things about our country. But, boy, we have some tough entries on our resume. Now, in my short lifetime, we don't even have to get into some of the things that happened early on in our country, because we all know that, and certainly it's worth talking about. But just in the last 40 and 50 years, look back, we had, as a country, we went to Vietnam. All those people died. Just earlier in this century, we went to Iraq. Killed so many people, so much damage, so many people are walking around that country in that area now. Don't have legs, they can't see, they can't hear, they're burned, they're traumatized. And we can say why we did something. We can give an explanation. Just because you know this, just because someone tells you something doesn't mean it's true. Right? Just because your partner says, they were working late, doesn't necessarily mean they were working late. So we're given all these ideas. We're told what to do. You're now an accountant. You're now an attorney. You now work selling houses. You work and you work and you work and you work. We're the hardest working people on the planet. And then all of a sudden you find yourself 40. 40. Jeez. Next big birthday, 50. You're in your 50s. And you're going, geez. What came in the mail? Oh, my God. Are you serious? AARP knows about me now? Holy fuck. Really? Now I'm on their radar? Wow, just flies by. You can see, we look in the mirror. Oh my God, lines are deeper. Look in the mirror. Gray hairs coming up everywhere. It's hard. And so what are we doing? You've now been living for 40 or 50 years. How have you been living? Does it even matter? Are we just a bunch of cells or atoms or quarks or neutrinos, kept together, and once the lights are out, it doesn't matter. We're just a fart in the universe, a little fart in the universe, and here we are, we go away. Or is there something that we want to make a mark on the time that exists? The blip of time that is part of the fabric of this amazing universe. So reading a book called The Grand Design by Stephen Hawking,
talking about quantum physics today. It was just so fascinating. You know, he was saying, listen, if there's a desk in a room and you close the door to that room, there are many, many equations that tell you that it is just as viable that the desk is not there than as the desk is there. And when you look at the quantum level of the world, the quantum level of our universe, that every particle that goes through space goes through every possibility of pathways of travel that is possible. And that these, like you could have an electron that goes from point A to point B, but it also goes from point A to point infinity and everyone in between, every pathway in between. So it's the separation between the particles and the wave theories of quantum mechanics. And it's so fascinating. And you look at things like that and you go, wow, that every possibility, every future and every past, the possibility of everything is kind of in existence when you look at it. And these things, obviously, when you hear them, they're just so fantastic and so unbelievable. And you kind of think about it and you go, I just don't get it. But what does it mean if that's true? Is this all some kind of thing that we're doing? Is there a meaning that you're supposed to be here? Is there a meaning that says who you are, what you do, the painting that you paint, the book that you write, the people that I help as a therapist, the growth that I experience, the love that I feel as a father and as a husband and as a brother and as a son and as a friend to people? Does that matter once they're gone and I'm gone? Does the fact that your great, great, great grandmother loved your great, great, great grandfather, or that she was a writer that wrote something that was lovely, does that matter to anything and anyone? Does it matter to the universe? Does it matter to the overall structure of this existence? And so on some level, we the idea of the existential meaning of life, it's, well, what is the truth here? I honestly don't know what the truth is here. But I choose to believe that not knowing doesn't keep me from doing, right? Not knowing doesn't keep me from trying to be my best self. Not knowing doesn't keep me from doing this podcast and pontificating my ideas, because somehow this idea, this moment that exists, this moment in time lasts forever, doesn't it? And is this my expression of becoming? Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for you? Are we, if I trigger something in you and you listen and you hear me and you say, huh, maybe I should find some time during my day or during my week that is about me and my purpose and what I'm supposed to be doing. People say, I just don't have the time. Well, for some people, that's true. It is true. But I think that even if we work 60 hours a week, we could find a good 20 hours to do something else. Work 40 hours a week, we have 30 or 40, 50 hours more in a week that we can do things. And if we just spend 2 or 3 of those hours on writing your business plan, on reestablishing and reconnecting yourself with yourself, going to therapy, exploring who you are, exploring why you are the way you are, why you feel so constricted that it just kills you when you think about how much you hate your mother or her father, or how much you're not happy in your marriage, and how much you want just to leave and do something else that you can't, because you're saying you're supposed to love your mother. You're supposed to love your father. For God's sakes, what kind of monster would I be if my true expression would mean that I never wanted to see my parent again? What would that say about me?
I don't know. What would it say about you? Really? Do you think OJ's kids should sit there and honor their father? Do you think that they should go visit him in jail? Send him Father's Day cards? Is that what you think? I don't know. Someone rapes you or molests you. Someone ignores you. Someone tells you you're a loser your whole life. Are you supposed to sit there and let that guide you for the rest of your life? And you know, and I know, that it certainly, that certainly happens for a lot of people. It affects them and guides them for the rest of their life. They spend their whole life disproving the negative. Do you really think that Ted Cruz is a holy man? Do you really believe that? That Ted Cruz embraces the idea of Christianity? Do you really believe that? Does that make sense? But you know what? He believes that. And that's his existential purpose, isn't it? That he believes that. That if I don't believe like him, he believes that we're going to burn in the lake of fire. Do you really believe that Joel Osteen, the most popular pastor in our country, is someone who espouses the values that you believe, of prosperity, that God wants us to be rich and prosperous? Or Farwell's son at Liberty University, do you believe what he's telling you? Is that his? Is that something? The reason why I'm asking you is because the existential crisis is about, what do you believe? If you're a Christian and Jerry Farwell says you're supposed to carry a gun to church and that's the way you're supposed to do it, but that's a Christian way, or some of the Jews that believe that, you know, women are supposed to be, you know, sit here and do this, and you're supposed to sit there, and all the stories that they tell their kids. Do you really believe that? Or that what the Muslims believe, or the Hindus believe, or the Buddhists believe? Like, what is it that speaks to you? Now, if you, on the other hand, say, you know, Gary, I'm a Christian, and I really do believe the meaning of Jesus and the message that he espoused, God bless you. I am so for that. But the existential challenge that you have and I have is, what has meaning for you, as opposed to, are you a doctor because you're supposed to be a doctor? Are you a lawyer because you come from a family of lawyers? It may be that if you're a plumber, you love plumbing and you love being a businesswoman and you love doing these things and it makes you happy. How many years are we given on this planet? 50, 60, 70, 80? Does what you do matter? Is the time you spent when you see people who are preaching hate and preaching anger and preaching fear and you follow those people, is that what you want? Why do you believe what you do on a lot of things? And so the existential issue is, why are you here and what is your meaning? And when you look back over your life when you're 70 years old or 80 years old, are you going to be able to say, I loved well, I worshiped well, I believed well, I challenged myself, I overcame my fears, never erased them, but I made them manageable. That yes, my fears may exist. Today, I have that program in my head that I'm not good enough, not smart enough, not capable enough. I understand that. But today, that feeling does not dominate me. I dominate it.
I do. I. And I'm sure today that the I that exists that thinks that maybe I've got some things going on, I may think that in 5 years, boy, was I missing all these other things that I didn't even realize when I was giving my podcast in 2016. But it's just a fascinating thing when you think about it. Do we live in fear? Do we live in expansion? Or do we live in constriction? I know what it's like to feel small. I know what it's like to think of what I should do, what I'm supposed to do. But what about the I that exists within you? So now, today, the fear, the insecurity, the part of me that understands what it's like to feel dehumanized and emasculated, I can connect with people on that. So when people come to see me and they go, Gary, I just feel this way. I go, brother, sister, I get it. Get it. Because that's one of the rings of the tree of my life. I do have things that I've done that I'm ashamed of. Not many, thankfully. Where I could just, they just stay. Just stay. When I should have taken care, better care of my dog and I didn't. The dog's, you know, lived a life and was overall happy, but a part of me that knew that I should have done better stays with me. I know the mistakes that we make. They leave a mark. But the existential crisis you have, you're married to the right person, or did you settle? Have you given up trying? Are you not gay because you're not supposed to be gay? Do you not go out with that African-American person because your family might be upset, or you don't go out with the white person or Asian person because of what other people will think? Do you live your life based on your audience, whether it's the audience of your family or your friends or your husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend? Or do you live your life based on what your truth is, what your North Star is, who you are? You know, it's not easy to find the existential meaning, because sometimes we have so many shoulds, and we're supposed to, and we need to, and would have, and should have. This is who you're supposed to be, and, you know, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to think this, and you're supposed to feel this, and sometimes we don't even know anymore, like, what existential, like, I can't even think about it. I just got to pick up my kids from school, and I got to pay my bills. I know. But I'm saying this to you because you don't want to wake up at 70 and look yourself in the mirror and look back over your life and say, damn, what happened? What happened? So, you ever come to my office? You ever tell me that you have an existential issue that you want to unpack it? It is one of the most wonderful explorations that you can ever make. You can make it in here. You can make it by reading some books on spirituality. And when I was reading the Hawking book today, it was just so fascinating to me about how we understand things and, like, what is reality and what is not reality. So much of it is our perspective, right? He talked about a fish in a bowl. Well, if the, you know, there's a, he said there's a law, I think, and somewhere maybe in England, I'm not sure if it's in England, I can't, don't quote me on that, that fish bowls have to be square. They can't be a bowl, because from the fish's perspective, everything would be distorted if you're looking out from a curved inside out. But he said, you can make predictions based on that if you were the fish. That things would happen in a certain way and things would move in a certain way. And you can make predictions that would be testable and could be proven true because you're the fish in the bowl. And from that perspective, things will
happen in a way that makes sense. People will walk across the room and they will walk in a specific arc. And if you had in mathematics, you can actually figure that out and you can make assumptions based on that. So it's the perspective of what we see. Said that Newtonian physics were based on things that could be observed, because he didn't have the ability to go into the ideas of electron microscopes and things like, you know, the ideas of atoms and quantum mechanics and all these different things. We just don't know. But what is our purpose? What are we supposed to do? Freud said that the idea of psychoanalysis, the goal of psychoanalysis, is to make the unconscious conscious. I feel for me that that's a big part of my journey, to become conscious, to become self-aware. Whether it's that to teach people, to connect with people, to help people find that same along that same pathway, to try to help them in as best way I can, as they can help me as well, but to go through that process. But I think that's a worthy goal, the question, to become self-aware, to be honest, to tell people your feelings, to tell your husband how you really feel, to tell your mother that you're angry, and to learn how to deal with when she says something really defensive or aggressive, not just stop it and just feel a pit in your stomach, but to actually move forward, expand your life. I get it. It's a lot, isn't it? I guess I just wanted to tweak you, because I love this stuff. It's just so fascinating to me. But if you have those moments of why are you here and what are you supposed to be doing with your life, one of the first things that I'm going to suggest you do is not try to know too quickly and not try to go to the safety zones of religion or this or that, but just become a free thinker. And a lot of times that leaves a little anxiety, because there's so much that we don't know, so much we have to figure out. I would say one of the things is, and you might want to join me with, is trying to make our unconscious as conscious as possible, to think things through. If you're a Republican, you can say, you know, it was really bad what's been happening the last few years. If you're a Democrat, you could say, you know, it's really bad some of the things that the Democrats have done, the way they've been bought by, you know, certain unions or what have you, that's really put people in tough places. Doesn't mean you can't be a Democrat or a Republican. Doesn't mean you can't be a true Christian or a Jew. But to be self-critical, self-aware, to love your mom is to hate her. To love your father is to hate him. If that's what is available to you, not to hate yourself for hating them, but to be okay with that. Well, I'm going to end right now, because there really is so much more to say, and I think this isn't dialogue, it's just not a conversation. But I do thank you for listening. Please reach out to me. The other thing is, I'm going to be starting a group for adults, men and women. It's going to be a process group looking at relationships and life and feelings. And if you are interested, please look me up, drgarypenn.com, and let me know that you're interested. This is Dr. Gary Penn. Till next time, be well.